Good morning, and welcome to the fourth session that we're having on Abounding in Favor. And I trust that this series has built you up strong, so you're expecting more of God's favor to flow to you on your behalf. Before we get started this morning, I just wanted to urge you, if you would, to continue to like the broadcast, as well as make comments, because both of those will help us stay up higher in the priority queue as they send out the video, and it'll cause less interruptions for everyone while we're watching. Also, and I'll be honest, it's an encouragement to us as well, and this has been, the last series was one of our highest attended, and this one has been good thus far also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we start. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who loves us, who favors us, and who is constantly desiring to give to us. So we ask you right now, Lord, to give us revelation this morning, revelation of Jesus and the love he has, because your word tells us when we increase in revelation, that favor will come as well. So thank you, Lord, for more favor. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Last week, we talked about some things that you must know to grow, and that was the title. And we've been anchored in Psalm 5:12, which is a verse that I had plastered on a door to my garage every time I went to a car in Tennessee for years. That verse was before me, and it got to where I had it so memorized I would just speak it. And I wasn't doing it flippantly. It really quickened me, and that made a difference. And the Lord has corrected me during this broadcast that's something I have let go of. So this is teaching me, as I hope it is teaching and instructing you. That verse says, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord, you cover them with favor as with a shield." Other translations say you surround or compass about. And one translation even says you do this under a canopy. And so a lot of times we talked about some protection that came with it, but I also want you to think about it as the blessing, just like the huppah for the Jewish blessing covers the bride and the groom. We then looked at Psalm 41, verse 11, and I'm going to spend a little more time because when the Lord gave me these three verses, I didn't realize until just recently that there were three different words used for favor. And so I want to go over the second one here, which is in this verse. This verse says, "I know that you favor me, because my enemy does not triumph over me." Now, what a testimony that is, something we need to be confessing. The word favor, though, is really interesting. It's the Hebrew word chen. It's spelled C-H-E-N. It's in your notes if you can look at those. And it literally means graciousness, but it's translated favor, grace, gracious, and well-favored. But it comes from a word, hanan, C-H-A-N-A-N, and the meaning of this word is to stoop or bend over, and when it's stooping or bending over, it's done in kindness as toward an inferior. So this is talking about the attitude of the Lord to, I believe, bend over looking from heaven and provide to you and I the favors, his grace, through his love and his kindness to us. That's just a great image for me when I want to think about how much he loves me, that he would do that act. So the final one we looked at is Proverbs 3, and we've been looking at the fourth verse, which says, "You'll find favor and understanding with both God and men," but it's talking about how we do that. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. It also says you will gain the reputation of living well. And that says to me, he wants you and I to be a billboard for the world of his goodness, a noticeable, distinct difference between us and the rest of the world. Then we looked last week at Genesis 12:2 and just saw that the Lord promised Abram increase of favors, plural. And that was in the Amplified Bible. So not just a one and done, but much of them. The other point that we made on this is that Abram had to step out, probably with some uncertainty, in faith, believing what the Lord had told him. And that's true for you and I. He had to step out, and so do we, to receive that favor quite often. And that's just something that I know I have not done in times gone by, and am more conscious of it as having gone through this study with you. We looked at Mary, who was told by the angel that she was highly favored. And if you were like me, you longed to say, gosh, I wish the Lord would say that about me, or could say that about me. And what did we learn? Well, in Ephesians 1, the sixth verse, he said that we've been made accepted in the beloved. The phrase made accepted is that same word that was used for Mary. It's only used twice in the Bible. Once about Mary and the other about you and I. That ought to give us some great, great encouragement. We also looked in Ephesians, the second chapter, the first eight verses, but we really focused on verse 7, which talks about this favor is to come to us now. The ages to come is now. And that's where he's going to show surpassing riches of his greatness. He's going to manifest this favor to us because of the great love and his kindness. It all comes by grace. Favor is a part of that grace, but we want to expect it now. This is not waiting for heaven. And we can't ignore verse 8 because it talks about how we receive everything from the Lord. How? Through grace, by faith. And so that is just so, so important. We receive things from the Lord because he gives it freely, but we must believe it to receive it. We looked at Jesus, who I believe was the most highly favored person ever to walk this earth. And we saw how he increased, but the New American Standard doesn't say just increase, it said he kept increasing. Throughout his life, I think that means the more pleasure he gave to the Father, the more favor that was poured upon him. That favor, I believe, being opportunities to manifest God's goodness. I truly believe if Jesus had stayed a little longer, that his miracles would have gotten greater and greater. But that also speaks to what you and I have available, because where are we today? In him, in Jesus. We closed last week by looking at Samuel, who grew in knowledge of the Lord and even in learning how to hear him. And then when he learned to hear from him, he took what the Lord gave him prophetically and was bold, stepping out beyond probably where he was comfortable doing to speak it. And listen to what the result was in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 2. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. Man, you talk about favor. And here we are with the Spirit of God inside us. So our expectations need to grow. And that's really where we're going today, is to talk about growing in his favor. So we're going to look at some things that I believe will encourage us to increase so that we can be like Jesus and keep increasing in favor. I want to start, though, by doing a level set. Proverbs 23, verse 7 has a phrase that reads, "For as he thinks," talking about a man, "within himself, so he is." That's really key, because today we're going to have to see ourselves as being the well-favored of the Lord. It doesn't matter what others think about us, but it's what we think, not only with our mind, but also what we believe in our heart. And what we've talked about in the past is getting those two to be in agreement. So we need to just see ourselves as having faith in the favor of God working on our behalf in our lives. Hebrews 4:2 in the New King James tells us that the gospel was preached to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. And why not? Because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. And so I want us to open up our hearts, even as we prayed this morning, to really receive from the Lord what he's speaking to us today. The Passion says it well. Let me just read the last verse. It talks about they heard the good news, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. So consciously make the decision as you're hearing and something resonates with you to release your faith toward that. It goes on to say, instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply because they doubted it. So today, we are not doubters. We're believers. And say that with me. I am not a doubter. I am a believer. Now I want to look at three verses that I think will increase us in our walk of faith, that it'll build our faith as faith comes by hearing. First is in 84, Psalm 84, verse 11. And I'm going to read this out of the Complete Jewish Bible, Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, "For Adonai, God, is a sun and a shield." So that shield ought to make you think of what? Favor, compassing you about, shielding you, covering you. It says, "Adonai bestows favor and honor." Now, that makes sense, because isn't that what he told Abram? That honor would come to him, he would make his name great as he favored him. It says, "He will not withhold any good things from those whose lives are pure." And we've been made holy in Christ Jesus. We've been made righteous, so we don't have to do things to qualify for that. It is part of his grace, his free gift. So the question that I have to ask myself, and I believe you also, is, do I really believe that? And I'll be honest, there are times when things come where I have to just, I maybe miss it and have to grab myself by my ear and look in the mirror and say, no, this is what the Word says. This is what the Lord has said to you. Walk ye in it. And then one of the things that we can do to increase in this and make it more alive in us is to do what? Is to speak it. So you'll see in your notes, I've paraphrased it, but even I'm going to take it a step further and read it as I might read it over myself. "God is a sun and a shield of favor to me, a shield of great favor. Adonai bestows favor and honor to Menton, and he does not withhold anything from him, as he has made me holy and righteous." So that's how you can just speak that and let that word build in your heart. And the more we speak it, I believe your voice, your ears hearing your voice say it, has more impact on you than my voice speaking it over you. It also then raises another question. Are the promises which the Lord spoke to Abram, and later Abraham after he changed his name, are those promises still good for us? And remember, this was under a covenant of grace. And I think we've got to remember that the answer to that is yes. Galatians 3:29 says, "If we belong to Christ, then we are Abraham's offspring," and what? "Heirs to the promise." Now, we know that's talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit as well. But that promise includes all of his favor. That's what comes with dwelling in Christ Jesus. And not only that, with Christ Jesus, what did it say? It said we're joint heirs with him. And so I want you just to have this awareness that the promise of favors to Abram are your promises. Abundant increases of favors, plural. That's for you and me today. And then finally in this, we want to look at two verses from Peter's epistles. 1 Peter 1:13. It says, "Therefore, gird your minds for actions. Keep sober in spirit." And this is the phrase I wanted to focus on. Fix your hope, your expectation for the future. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. Now, when we see grace to be brought to us, what do we know is coming as a part of that grace? An act of grace so that we can have things manifest, which is what favor is. And look at how it comes. Let me just read the whole thing again. "Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So as we see Jesus revealed, as he becomes more real to us, as we see him as he is, our hope ought to be increasing. And when it does, what's going to happen? Grace and favor will be coming to us. It will be brought to you. The Amplified says, "Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace," that is divine favor, "that is coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed." Oh, do you get a picture of that? The more that you see Jesus and his love for you, can you just see his eyes just looking down at you, just full of love, and him just bending to bestow favor upon you? The Woos translation says that set your hope perfectly, that means completely, wholly and unchangeably, without doubt or despondency. So it's not any wavering, it's not up and down like the waves, not being tossed to and fro by the winds, but we're stable in that expectation, in that hope. And we're setting our hope solely upon the grace that is brought to us on the occasion of the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 gives a second witness of that. The Weymouth translation, again, 2 Peter 3:18, says, But be always growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Be always growing in the grace and the knowledge of God. That means what? More revelation. And so as we grow in grace, what is increasing? The favor as well. Amplified says, grow in grace, undeserved favor, spiritual strength. So that's telling us that we're going to get stronger as well as the favor coming, which means we have more gumption to act on what the Lord is telling us to do. But it only comes with the recognition and knowledge and understanding, the revelation, in other words, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to spend the rest of our time together this morning talking about three central themes, three main areas that I believe, from studying others, from reading, where we can begin to see increase in our favor. The first one is when we open ourselves up to the instruction of the Lord. And I'll also use the term open ourselves up to His correction, because many people don't like that. But once we begin to see His correction as a great love for you and I, then that just opens a door for the floodgates of favor to begin. Really, what we're doing is learning the ways of the Lord so we can make them our ways. So we've got a number of verses in this section. I want to start with Proverbs 4, verse 13. Proverbs 4, 13. And I'm going to read this first one from the King James. It says, take firm hold. Now, let me just stop there. Firm hold there in the Hebrew means to fasten upon it, as if you've got a fastener that you tighten down so that it won't let go. It also means to seize something in a strong manner. So take a firm hold of what? Instruction, which to me includes correction. Do not let go. How often do we hear a word, get excited about it, something comes, and then the next thing you know, it is forgotten, maybe forever. That happens to all of us. But this is instruction to us. Seize hold of it. Don't let it go. And look at the last phrase there. Keep her. Keep that wisdom, that understanding, that revelation. Why? For she is your life. And so it's obviously talking about God's word here. Keeping God's word in the forefront of us, holding it, not letting it go. Now I want you to go to Proverbs 8. And we're going to read three verses, 33 through 35. Now, we've read verse 35 before, but I want you to see these verses going up to it today, leading up to it, so that you can build precept upon precept in what we're talking about. It starts out and says, heed instruction. Now, the first one we said, take firm hold of it and don't let go. But what is this telling us? We need to act on it. We need to take account of what it says and do it. Heed instruction and be wise. Have wisdom. And do not neglect it. Wow. Now that's strong. So we are heeding instruction and in wisdom acting on it and not neglecting it. Verse 34, blessed is the man who listens. Well, we certainly want those blessings flowing to us. And how do they come? Through the favor of God. And we're to be watching daily at his gates, waiting at his doorpost. Now, what is that talking about? I believe fellowshipping with him. At the gates is where the leaders of a city would gather to rule and reign and talk about decrees. 35 then says, for he who finds me, talking about wisdom, that's what we talked about before, but wisdom is what? Same thing as Jesus. He was made wisdom unto us. He who finds me or revelation of Jesus finds life and does what? Obtains favor from the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I just see this as an ongoing increase, an ongoing cycle of increase. The Young's Literal doesn't read well, but listen to what it says. Whoso is finding me has found life and bringeth out the goodwill from Jehovah. So when we find life, what is going to flow our way naturally? Goodwill. So when we were born again, what kind of life did we find? That Zoe life, that God kind of life. And this tells us with God's kind of life comes favor from heaven as they look down, bend over, and bestow upon you and I. Proverbs 13:18, on the flip side, those who don't do what we've just talked about, says, poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction. But he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Now, let's take that from the Passion, because I think it paints a clearer picture. Passion says, poverty and disgrace come to the one who refuses to hear criticism. I would say instruction, correction. But the one, and I like the way it reads this, who is easy to correct is on the path of honor. And we've already seen favor and honor linked earlier in this session. So are we easy to receive the correction of the Lord? And what are we doing? We're adjusting our path. Proverbs 11:27 in the New King James simply says, starts out, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor. So we see a tie with doing good and finding favor. But doing good is taking the instruction from the Lord and heeding them or doing it such that what? Such that we accomplish and thus receive the blessing that came with that favor. But we are to seek it. And what does the Lord tell us? If you seek me, you will find me. Along that same line, Psalm 32, verse 8, one of my favorite verses in Psalms. I can show you right where it is. It's about that far down on the page, on the left-hand side on my Bible. And it says this, and I really see this as the Lord speaking this to me. And here's what he's saying. Know that I, the Lord, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Now, how does he do that? First and foremost, through the Word of God, as it's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And then he may speak to us and correct us through the Holy Spirit. But what do we know? It never brings condemnation. It always comes in love. And if we'll heed it and act upon it, what have we seen? Favor will come. Close this section by reading you Proverbs 12:2. A good man will obtain favor from the Lord. Someone who is seeking good and doing good is going to do what? See the Lord's favor manifest in our life. So when you open yourself up to instruction and correction, I believe you're setting the tone, as these verses have told us, they've affirmed, that favor will flow. The second one is closely related to that, and it is get understanding and wisdom. Understanding how something works, what the will of the Lord is, wisdom how to act on that. Proverbs 13:15. The one who despises the word, talking about God's word, his commandments to us, will be in debt to it. But the one who fears the commandment, who honors it, who reveres it, holds it in high esteem, is in awe of it. People who do that, what will happen? The commandment will be rewarded. Then 14, and see this as beginning to bubble up in you as we go through today. The teaching of the wise, that's not me, that's the scripture, is the wisdom of God. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. So the more we hear, the more we ought to expect what? That to bubble up in us, to turn aside from the snares of death. So it'll protect us. That favor flowing up in him. We've already seen that. It's just saying it'll protect us. And then verse 15, good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. So here again, all these things in 13 and 14 lead up to the phrase, good understanding produces favor in our life. And go to Proverbs 3 that we looked at 4 and talked about just briefly in our review. I want to just read through you what it's telling us so that you see as a second witness to what we just read in Proverbs 13, that with fellowshipping with Jesus and His Word, Himself, the Word, that we're going to see favor increase. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. In other words, we're going to have to control our flesh by those commandments at work in our heart. And look at what they'll do. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Does that sound like favor? Yes. And how's it coming? Look at the next one. Verse 3. Do not let kindness. That's where it flows from. That loving kindness. That hesed. And the truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then verse 4. So you see the context, it fits right in with what we're talking about today. So you will find favor, or thus you will find favor, or then you will find favor, and a good report in the sight of God and man. In other words, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be that billboard as He pours that favor out upon Him, but it comes by us fellowshipping with Him and His Word and having Jesus and His goodness revealed. And then it tells us, trust the Lord in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Now, me, I'm a reasoner. Or if I don't reason, I'm looking at the facts, because that's what I trained to do as an engineer. And it's what I also, it's just the way I'm wired. And so I have to overcome this a lot of time and just say, nope. It's not just the facts today. What the truth of God says overcomes those facts that I'm looking at. Now, I'm not saying be unwise, because we're told in Scripture to be wise about where we are. One of the verses in Proverbs tells us to know well the status of our flock. That means know our business well. Don't let things surprise you. Don't be slack in that. Ezra 8:22 is another one that gives us more assurance that the Lord wants to extend His hand of favor to us. Look at what it says. The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all who seek Him. Now, this is really important, because we don't want to get into seeking for the wrong thing. Yes, you want the favor of God in your life. But our seeking, first and foremost, is with Him through His Word and the Holy Spirit. Spending that time. And then when that happens, then the favor of His hand will be reaching toward you. And I can't leave this section talking about receiving in understanding and wisdom, which is what Jesus was doing, wasn't it, at the temple when His parents couldn't find Him and they went back. And right after that is when it said, as we saw last week, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature, and He kept increasing in the favor with God and man. He is our standard. If we see Him doing it, then we ought to aspire to be doing the same. Proverbs 4:7 is a verse that kind of summarizes wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. So again, we just see understanding and wisdom tightly coupled, so we can learn of the Lord and what? Then act upon what He's told us to do. Act upon the favor that He's giving you. And always remember, that favor is not always just for you, for your benefit. It may be for the benefit of others as well. So expect both to be very active in your life. And then finally, the third key or critical area that we want to look at today is, I believe more favor comes, as we've just talked about with Jesus, when my ways are pleasing to the Lord. And remember our attributes for favor. Now, words that we look for, and we're going to be adding to this list next week as well. Goodwill, pleasure, well-pleased, kindness, joy, bestow. And that goodwill and that pleasure is not just our pleasure toward the Lord. It's His pleasure toward us. It is His joy toward you. And what is Zephaniah 3:17? He sings with joy over you. That's His pleasure at work. That's why His hand is favorably disposed to you. Psalm 119:58-60. I entreated thy favor with all my heart. In other words, wholeheartedly. And you need to remember, this verse will probably come up, the Lord is looking over the earth, trying to find someone who what? Who has a whole heart toward Him so He can do good for him. So I entreated thy favor with all my heart. And then He says, be gracious to me according to thy word. Now, that's being bold right there. In other words, be gracious. Do what you said you would do. Show me favor according to what your word has said concerning the matter. Then He says, and this is a sign of correction for me, I considered my ways and turned my feet to thy testimony. So I turned away from darkness that I was walking in or missing the light and turned back to the word, the light, the understanding that the word gave me and the wisdom to act upon it. I hastened and I did not delay to keep thy commandments. So we see this section starting off with, I entreated thy favor. And when I did it, I've realized I had to change some things. That's all we're doing today is course adjustments, changing the direction that we believe concerning favor. So is there a relationship that we see here between favor and His ways being pleasing to us? I think so. Proverbs 16:7 has always just been one that I marveled over. You hear people say, if you go deeper with the Lord, you better expect bigger devils and more problems to occur. Well, look at what this verse says. To me, this is the epitome of favor. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with Him. How much favor is this? Now, will we have persecution? Sure. But you can have people who have been working against you, who when your ways are pleasing to the Lord and how you respond to them, you submit to them if you're your boss, then look at what He promises here. More favor. Being at peace with Him. Glory to God. You know, that phrase, at peace, reminds me of what the angels were saying in Luke 2, the 14th verse, when they came to proclaim Jesus' birth that night. And look at it, and I'm reading it, and it's in your notes from the Amplified. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among men. And look at this phrase, with whom He is well pleased. Now, let me just stop. Was He well pleased with man at that time? No. Not in their daily activities. But how could He have this pleasure? It was credited to your and my account and to their account because of what Jesus was being sent to do on this earth, just like the Lord imputed believing as righteousness, or imputed righteousness as He believed, as talking about Abraham. And so let's finish this. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom He is well pleased. Men of goodwill, men of His favor. So the Lord is calling here really things that were not as though they were. But when we received the good news of Jesus, His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, that's our identity. It's not in the Jesus just on the cross. And it's not even the Jesus who just lived on the earth. It's in the total package, including the resurrected Jesus. He is our identity. You know, Paul builds on this same theme in his greetings and his closings of most of his epistles. Philippians 1:2 is a good example. In the Amplified, look at what it says: grace, favor, and blessing. Isn't that what we're talking about here? Receiving the blessing of the Lord as He bestows favor upon us to be able to be act on and receive what He's promised us. Favor and blessing to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is just reinforcing what so much of the Old Testament scriptures said. And finally, I want to close with this verse. And this verse once had a very personal revelation to me. And I go back to it quickly. But I want you to see it. I want you to see yourself hearing these words as Jesus did from the Father. Don't start now. I'm not good enough. I'm not. He made you worthy. Listen to Mark 1, verse 11. And there came a voice out from within heaven. I get the image of the Lord leaning over, bending down, and speaking from His throne to Jesus and saying, "You are my beloved Son." Now, that's important, because now what? We are all sons. "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And we've already seen that one of the attributes of favor is His good pleasure toward you and I. This is spoken of Jesus, but it's true of you today. It's doubly true because you are in Jesus. Let today's session just meditate on it. Just bring confidence in you to expect favor as you get understanding and wisdom as Jesus is revealed to you. And as you do, you will see springs of a fountain of life full of favor flowing to you. Bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.